let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here live and actually watching us online. And we thank you, Father, for the anointing of God that's present. And we thank you, Father, for that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that we'll take that word that we have that brings forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and the people who are down and out and share the love of Jesus with each and every one of them. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your ability. And we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing. Father God, we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you. They won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. But we thank you most of all for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we also thank you for the anointing that's here, that anointing that changes us in an instant, that anointing that just makes everything okay, that anointing that saturates us and makes it all wonderful again. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they were there in Stanton, Virginia. We thank you for the anointing of God that's there. We thank you for the healings that will take place. We thank you for miracles and everything that will be done there. And we thank you for everything you are doing and everything you have done both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. I'm actually going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And many of you might know that this is a story about David and Goliath. Many of you probably have heard this story over and over again. In fact, it's so much of a famous story that I think in the last couple of weeks I've heard it two or three times in what we call secular television talk about a David and Goliath situation. In fact, last night there was a court case in one of those situations, and someone turned to this and said, well, maybe David doesn't always win. And the other person says, well, tell that to the writer of the Bible. But this is a story about David and Goliath. And I just was, actually, it was after last night that I was just really rolling over and over in my head about David. And there's something about David that's much more different than just a little man. It's called the attitude of a champion. David has the attitude of a champion, and that's what we have to have, that kind of attitude. Well, to kind of just to set the stage, 1 Samuel 17, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I mean the whole chapter, but really the first part of this chapter tells us about Goliath the Philistine. They say was about 9 feet tall. I know some people said, well, he probably wasn't that tall. That doesn't matter. You know, he was tall compared to all the Israelites. Some people said, well, the Israelites were only about 5 feet tall at the time, and David was, I mean, Goliath was only about 6'6". It doesn't matter. Goliath was bigger than all of them, all right? Especially David. And, you know, this guy was big, he was ugly, you know, and he had a coat of mail. I mean, think about this. Have you ever had mail at your house? I know it piles up. No, actually, it was... I didn't know what a coat of mail was until I actually, it was like their version of armor, you know, and it's like, you've seen it if you've ever seen any of the old time, you know, stuff or whatever, but he had armor. But anyway, it says his armor weighed 125 pounds. That's more than some people. Now, not me, okay, but some people here might not weigh 125 pounds. Most guys do, but some women here might actually weigh less than his armor did. And then, this talked about how big and bad he was. But this is what stood out. It says that he stood for 40 days every morning and evening. The Philistine strutted out and began to harass the Israelite armies. 40 days. Day and night. That's irritating. You would think at some point in some time, somebody would get enough guts, you know, and they would get tired of hearing about, you know, what this guy says he's going to do or whatever. But, you know, I often wondered why he didn't do anything. You know, I mean, I guess that's why we could call him a bully, because You know, if he really was tough, wouldn't he just go invade the Israelites and forget about calling them out? You know, just go do something. I mean, he had his own shield bearer. I mean, the guy, he didn't even carry his own shield. Anyway, David at the time, now, you know, we see David in the Bible at different times in history, but at the time, he's just a young kid, the youngest of all the brothers, and his father, Jesse, said to him, "Hey, can you bring some bread and cheese to your brothers and see how things are going and, you know, kind of give me a report?" So David was just there to feed the soldiers. He wasn't there to be in battle. He was there to check on his brothers, see how things are going. You understand, David didn't come with an intention that I'm going to go there and battle this Philistine. He came with the intention of, I'm going to go there and help my brothers have some food from home. But when he got there, it says, as he was talking to his brothers, that Goliath decided to have one of these calling out fits and begin to call out the Israelites. And as soon as he did, it says the soldiers there began to be afraid just by hearing the guy talk. I mean, they were afraid, and they were like, you know, didn't know what they're going to do. And David, being a young man, basically said, "Well, who is this?" Now, he actually said uncircumcised Philistine, but basically he's like, "Who is this heathen that comes against the armies of the living God?" That was what he said. And then what he said got back to Saul, and then we'll skip down to verse number 32. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because it's new and living. No, it's more modern. All right, verse 32. So after all I said kind of happened already, and so he, you know, David opened his mouth. Now, so, see, a lot of times people open their mouths, but David opened his mouth in a minute. A lot of times people like to just talk to be talking and say, well, but verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, David tells, talking to Saul, he says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." Saul goes, "Don't be ridiculous." I mean, think about it. If you were there in the room, I mean, you know, for 40 days, this guy's been calling out everybody. And Saul, I mean, being the king, you know, he's the head of all the armies. He's thinking, yeah, if I'm going to send somebody out there, I'm not sending you. I mean, you're just a little kid. Well, what are you going to do? And he said, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win." You know, it's like, you know, because if you don't win, but basically he's saying, why don't you send somebody to fight me, and whoever wins, wins the whole war. So, you know, if you don't send someone to win, they're going to lose everything. So why would they want to send the, you know, some young kid that's not even a, he's not even an army man. If you want to, you know, that's bad terminology, but he's not fighting in the army. He's a shepherd boy. All right. I mean, you know, he's used to watching sheep. All right. He said, so there's no possible way you're going to win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. So David persisted. I mean, you know, he kept on. You know, David could have stood up and stopped and said, okay, then at least send somebody so this guy quits talking. But he says, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears," plural. I mean, because sometimes when we hear the story, we think, well, you know, one time there was a lion, another time there was a bear. Actually, you know, other translations said when a lion or a bear comes. But, you know, here it indicates plural that more than one time I've killed a lion or a bear with my bare hands and some sticks and stones. Now, I'm here to tell you, anywhere in the United States of America, somebody's walking their dog, even there up in the mountains of California or up in the Rocky Mountains or whatever, and a lion or bear came, and this man saved their dog by killing a lion or a bear, either one, with their bare hands, It would be national news. I mean, they'd be on the Good Morning America. That would be a big deal. And sometimes we actually even overlook the fact that David already killed a lion and a bear, plural, with his bare hands. And that's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, I mean, that's why he was able to convince Saul, because, I mean, I want to show of hands, how many here has either killed a lion or a bear with your bare hands? All right. Now, maybe some of you here have killed one with a gun, you know, and well, just a little lion or just a little, I don't care if it's a little lion or a little bear. That's amazing. I mean, you know, if the whole story ended right there, I'd still be amazed what David did if he never fought Goliath. But I mean, that's pretty amazing that this little, I mean, because it also doesn't say how old he was when he killed a lion and a bear. He could have been 12. Because you realize he wasn't that old anyway, right, at this point in time. I mean, could have been 12 or 13. I mean, you imagine him being, most parents are afraid to have their 13-year-old around a dog that might be a little bit rambunctious. You know, or even a dog that looks, I mean, because there are some dogs that look really, like my dad's dog, he looks really friendly, but he's big. He'll knock you over. Some people are afraid of him, but he's just a lovable dog that happened to be 100 and something pounds, but, just a big dog. But, I mean, it's amazing that he killed a lion and a bear. But he goes on to say, he says, anyway, he says, and, this is verse 36, end of the verse, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Understand, David understood that this Philistine's coming against God. He goes on to say, verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. Sounds like a Star Wars movie. May the Force be with you. You know, go ahead. Go. I mean, what's he going to say? He's like, you know, okay, this kid's killed a lion and a bear with bare hands. Let's give him a shot. Give it a shot. What else are we going to do? No, he's the first guy in 40 days that stepped up and said, you know what? I'm willing. But I'm here to tell you, they didn't have to wait for David. Do you understand? Any point in time, any of them could have stepped up and said, you know what? This guy is coming against our God. But David was the first one that was willing to step up, because see, Saul himself could have stepped up, but he didn't do it. Because Saul himself did not understand the power that they possess. And you know, it's a lot like us a lot of times. We don't understand the power that we possess if we'll step up. We're waiting for somebody else to come along, to step up and help us. Or we're praying, God, please send somebody to help me. I need some help. I mean, you know, we're praying for somebody. The thing is, at some point in time, you got to be willing to step up. But you have to understand, you're not stepping up by yourself. You're not fighting your own battles. He's always with you. It says he'll never leave us, never forsake us. Remember, we don't live in the Old Testament like David did. You know, I'll get to that in a minute. All right. So verse 38, and Saul gave David his own armor. I mean, think about it. Saul had the best armor in Israel. A bronze helmet, his own coat of mail. David put it on, strapped a sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before, because he's never been a soldier. Then he goes, I can't go in these, he protested Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. You understand? He took what he had. How many of us we're like, well, God, if you'll give us something, we can go fight. No, God will provide what you need. Everything you need to fight your battles. See, you're looking for something else to come, but God says, I've already provided. You know, that use the stick that I gave you. But Lord, it's only a stick. See, you, but it's, that's not what I see. You see a stick, but it's not just a stick. It's an anointed stick. It's not just a sling, it's an anointed sling. And I guarantee you, my parents bought me a sling one time. They were over in Israel. I kind of wish they wouldn't have bought it for me. Maybe the trick is I didn't have any smooth stones in my backyard. Mine were all jagged. And I don't know if you've ever tried using one of those slings. It's not like a slingshot. You like twirl it over your head, and you're supposed to let it go at the right time. It never worked. It hit me in the head every time. I think I did get, you know, like 5 feet away. I couldn't hit anything with it, but it flew away from me. Didn't really work. But it worked for David. It's all he knew. Sticks and stones. I mean, it's all he knew. It's all he had. That's all he needed. Now, interesting, it goes on. It says, and he said he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Saying, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at his ruddy face. Am I a dog, he roared to David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and wild animals. Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you. Understand, he didn't say, I'm going to conquer you. He said, the Lord's going to conquer you. And I will kill you. See, he said, the Lord's going to use me to kill you. And cut off your head. And then I will give the dead body of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Now, understand that from the word go, David decided that it wasn't his own battle. Because it wasn't his battle, he wasn't going to lose. It's not your battle to lose. He understood, you know, he came with the heart of a champion because he didn't see a giant like everybody else did. He saw a defeated foe. Now, it's interesting because David did not come with what I'll call the Scooby-Doo mentality. And have you ever seen Scooby-Doo? I used to watch Scooby-Doo as a child, and I'm going to tell you a typical Scooby-Doo episode. Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine, you know, they were all there trying to solve some kind of murder mystery or whatever mystery. And always Scooby and Shaggy would get pushed aside somehow, some way, and they would run into the person. And then they would get scared, and Scooby would say, "Ruh-roh!" And then Scooby would trip over a vase. The vase would plop up, hit the guy in the head, knock him out. Shaggy would say, "Good work, Scoob." And it was all solved. Basically, they were trying to run away from the guy and accidentally somehow solved the problem. But that wasn't David's mentality. David says, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you out. And it's not because of me. It's because of who I represent. That's right. That's right. See, at some point in time, you've got to figure out who you represent. Yes, you represent, and make sure you represent the right team. But he didn't come with some kind of, well, you know, it might work. You know, thank God I have 5 stones. You know, because obviously, you only needed one. But it's interesting. It says, Verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to the attack, David ran quickly out to meet him. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't sound like he was really afraid. Even after all this, because you know, I mean, everyone tried to talk him out of it. So you're just a kid. Yeah, but he understood the power that he possessed with the name of the Lord. He understood what his team represented. The one true living God. He understood that Goliath was coming against God. He also understood that he didn't see a tall 9-foot gorilla or whatever they think he looked like. You know, he saw a defeated foe. And he came quickly running. Not like, I mean, because most people, whenever you're in a faith battle or any kind of battle, you're like, I mean, man, David was like, you know, hey, if God be for me, who can be against me? And I know that's the scripture, but do we really believe what we believe? Because I don't think that anyone that I know really acts like David whenever they're facing any kind of David versus Goliath battle that we see. You know, and I know maybe you've never heard it like this or never thought about this before, but here's David. I mean, he says he ran quickly. It didn't matter. He only had one thing on his mind, and that was to let God conquer. His whole trust was in God. Because in his own strength, this man could not defeat a big giant. I mean, besides the fact, I mean, you realize that he was covered best he could with all kinds of armor. You realize David had no armor, no protection, at least that anyone could see. But it's your unseen protection that's the most deadly. And that's what you have to start seeing what you don't see. And you have to start knowing what you should know. That when you face a battle that looks like there's no way to win, you understand it's not your battle. It's God's. And you understand that anyone that comes against you, you're a child of the living God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So anything that comes against your abundant life is coming against God. And you got to decide, am I going to let this Goliath win? Or am I going to just decide I'm going to go after it? Wholeheartedly. 100%. Sold out. I mean, you know, the way David acted, he already knew the outcome before he started. But, you know, knowing what we know by the Bible, he said, I'm going to have what I say. Because he warned Goliath what he was going to do. He gave him a warning. Now, it didn't scare Goliath, but because he made his living. Last 40 days, he'd been doing nothing, but, I mean, he was probably just happy somebody came out. Finally, somebody comes out. And then he's like, your champion is some little kid with no armor? No shield? I mean, I haven't got a guy that carries my shield. He has no shield. He has no nothing. He has sticks and stones. But like you said, David said, that's all I need. Anyway, as Goliath moved closer, verse 48, to attack David, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. It took one guy to have the heart of a champion, to understand his God and understand, you know, the power that was with him. Understand that the force that he possessed was more than the force, all right, that Luke possessed. All right, understand who he had, what he had. But understand, this is the Old Testament. We don't face a Goliath. We don't have a Goliath that we face. The devil's already been defeated 2,000 years ago. Now, you know, in John 10:10, that was before Jesus died, when Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Excuse me. But Jesus went down and defeated him. He's already been defeated. So we don't really have a Goliath. So if you're seeing a Goliath, you're seeing something that is not there. Now, the devil will try to act like he's a Goliath, but he's not. The Bible says he's seeking who he may devour. He's trying to tell you, he'll try to tell you he's big, bad, and ugly, and 9 feet tall. But it doesn't matter what he says. Remember I said he's the original bearer of fake news. He'll try to tell you what he wants to tell you, but everything he does is he tries to deceive you. He tries to lie to you. He's done it since Genesis. Many of you haven't kept up with him, but starting in Genesis, the devil began to lie. And he's been lying ever since. And the devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a liar. He's going to be a liar tomorrow. He's going to be a liar today. He has no authority. He has no power. He's no Goliath. So I want you to quit thinking that you're trying to fight a Goliath, because you're not, because Jesus already defeated the devil. All you're doing is marching with the same heart that David did. I don't want you to think about Goliath. I want you to think about having the heart of a champion. I want you to understand that whenever you go out to face a situation, that whatever that you need to have, whether, I mean, you don't have to have, you know, all the militaristic things you think you need. All you need is what you have. You have what you need. I mean, you know, all you need is to be willing. The Bible says, willing, obedient, eat the good of the land. Just be willing to step up. Just be willing to, you know what? It might look like it's not going to happen, but I know my God. I know what the Bible says. I know what's written. I know I'm victorious. Be a know-it-all. Know the word. Know all of it. Know what the word says. And have the heart of a champion. But quit thinking you're fighting a Goliath, because you're not. You're fighting a defeated foe. But see, that's what David saw that day. He did not see a giant. He saw a defeated foe. And the reason he was able to act the way he did is because he didn't see things in his own mind. He saw things with the mind of Christ. And see, through the mind of Christ, we should see a defeated foe. We understand the devil has no right, no authority. Understand in the name of Jesus, we have the name above all names. But you know, just that's what David, he said, you know, in the name of Jesus, basically, he says, you're going down today. When you come against God, you're going down. David had the heart of a champion. And really, it wasn't a big guy versus a little guy. It was a big guy versus a bigger God. Amen. And yes, I get it. The devil does have some power and some authority, but not to you if you know your God. He only has authority over the people that let him. That's why he says he's seeking who he may devour. That's when you have to decide, you may not devour me, Mr. Devil. I'm going to take my authority based on the word. That's why you have to know what the word says. Most important thing you should ever do is know what the word says. My grandfather says the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know what the word says. They don't know what the word says. The word says, if you ask anything in my name, I shall do it. Just ask. Ask what you will and it shall be done. It says, only believe, all things are possible to them that believes. Now you understand, it doesn't say, well, if you only believe and you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around, then it will happen. But if you don't do the hokey pokey, it's not going to happen, because some people actually almost act like that's the way it is. Well, you got to believe, but there's more steps than that. No, the Bible says believe. It says have faith in God. See, that's the deal. We have to believe in God, not in ourselves. I don't have to have any confidence in myself that I can do anything. But I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. I don't have confidence that I can do it. I have confidence in my God. And that's the deal. Whenever you're trying to do something, are you doing it or God's doing it? Because if it's God's doing it, it's going to work out. If you're doing it, it might not. And that comes, you know, when you're following God's plan for your life, and, you know, and some people say, well, things aren't working out. Well, is it really God's plan? Or is it one of those, well, I think it's God's plan? You know, if it's God's plan, he'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll equip you, he'll anoint you, and he'll make it happen. If it's not, then you're doing it in your own strength. Yeah, but it sounds good. Well, okay, great. Sounds good. But is it what God's plan is for your life? It sounds good to go to Disneyland and ride all the rides. Well, maybe not as you get older. The rides are kind of boring at Disneyland. Maybe you want to go to a better place. Cedar Point is the best place to go ride roller coasters. But, you know, that sounds fun too. But, you know, sometimes you actually have to work. Sometimes you have to do, you know, just because it sounds fun doesn't mean what God wants you to do. But I tell you what, if you learn who your God is, learn that he'll get you through whatever. I don't care if all you have is a stick and a stone, he's going to make you through it. If he can help David defeat Goliath with a stick and a stone and a sling, which is worthless as far as I'm concerned. But David had used it. I would much rather have Saul's armor. I've never had it put it on, but you know what? I would feel more comfortable. Maybe not. I don't know. The thing about it is, he used what he had, and that's all he needed. Some people are praying for something more to win a battle that's already been won. But what you need is look to the inside and decide that you have what you need. You have the greater one on the inside. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. These are all scriptures. Everybody knows. Everyone here knows about David. Everybody knows. Maybe you haven't decided, you didn't know until tonight that he actually defeated more than one lion or bear, at least that's what the Bible seems to show. And maybe you really didn't think that was a big deal. I thought it was a big deal myself, per se. You know that's a pretty big deal. Pretty good big deal that he wasn't really afraid to face a lion or a bear with his bare hands. Most of us like, but you know what? Take the sheep. I'm out of here. You know, but he understood that, you know what, his job was to protect those sheep. That's what a shepherd does. You know, that's a pastoral lesson you can actually learn later on. But I got to stop because it's time to go. It's 8 o'clock, time to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for each and everything you've done in our life. But Father God, help us to have the heart of a champion each and every time. And help us to understand that whenever we're facing our own battles, help us understand there is no Goliath, but there's just a devil that's trying to act like he's a big shot. But help us understand the greater one lives on the inside of us, and that we have the name of Jesus to defeat any kind of devil that tries to come our way. And all we have to do is use that heart on the inside, and everything will be okay. Help us understand that we shouldn't be afraid, but we should understand that we can go in the battle excited, ready, and able because we already win. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you for their heart. We thank you for their lives. We thank you, Father, for just meeting all their needs. We thank you for just touching their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, we have men and women here that are here to pray for you. If you're a man, you can go this side. If you're a woman, go to that side. If you don't know what you are, please ask an usher and they'll help direct you. We're glad, man, we have a few visitors. Let's all stand up, first of all. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, we have our connection team. They're going to go and they're going to take you out to a place, and they have a gift for you, and they're going to talk to you about the church and let you know that we're glad to have you. And if you're from this area, we invite you to make this your home church. If you're not from this area, anytime you're here in this area, come and visit us. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget Dad and Mom. They're there in Stanton, Virginia, and they'll be there through Friday night. Let's continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for miracles and healings taking place there. You know, it's always wonderful to hear healings and miracles, you know, that happen when they're out on the road. And God's still in the healing business. Amen. Amen. Well, turn around, shake hands with two or three people. Tell them you have a heart of a champion, and you're dismissed.